It is so good to be with you guys this morning. I know we keep saying that, but it's just because it's true. Praise the Lord. Makes me think about that. You don't know what you got till it's gone. And it is just so good to be together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive from you, Lord, in this moment. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the teacher and that you teach us about what Jesus has said, and then you empower us to be able, Lord, to obey what you've asked us to do. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about how we as a family would be called to respond in this current moment. And what I'm talking about specifically is in light of where our nation is with the killing of George Floyd. It has brought to the forefront issues of race. And it's not that these are new, but it's been brought to the forefront in a way that is highlighting something, and we're seeing a response to that all over. And some of those responses have been absolutely beautiful, and some of those responses have been very, very ugly. And across the gamut, we see all kinds of responses to this. But what's important for us as a family right now, as followers of Christ, is that we have to recognize, God, how would you have us respond? How would you have us respond in this moment? Because for those of us that are part of the kingdom of heaven, how many of you know that we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, first and foremost, that we've been bought with a price, we've been born again into a family and into a kingdom, and then we're called to be salt and light and to expand his kingdom, his values, and his heart in our secondary citizenship, which is in whatever nation that we're a part of. And so we have dual citizenship. Our primary citizenship is the kingdom of heaven, and we're called to respond to the teachings of Jesus and to obey every command. Amen? Then from that point, then we're called to be salt and light and to respond in the city, but in the nation that we're secondarily a citizen of. And so we have an absolute obligation to live out the values of Christ and the teachings of God in the nation of which we're a part. And so most of us here, I think, have dual citizenship. I don't know if Terrell already left. Oh, there she is. Terrell is a Canadian citizen, so she has triple citizenship, kingdom of heaven, Canada, and then green card here in America. So she has even more work than the rest of us. So we appreciate you, Terrell, for putting in that extra effort. But in light of something like this, no matter where you are where we are, how this hits us, or what particular part of this issue that we're maybe specifically thinking of, it's important for us as a family and as citizens of the kingdom of heaven that it's not lost on us that what we are seeing right now is an overwhelming response where many in our nation are saying, do you see this? This is what I'm talking about. This is what I've been trying to get you to hear. This is what I've been saying, that something is still broken to where something like this can still happen. And that for 9 minutes, this could just go on and business as usual is happening. And is it going to take people dying to get our attention? And it can be lost on us. It can be lost on us right now if we jump in these other places and miss, I think, the heartbeat here, which is that we have millions of people in America that are saying, I'm experiencing something different than you may be experiencing. And will you listen? Can you guys receive that? Will you hear this? Will you hear this? This is giving a voice for many that are saying, you're not hearing me. Now, I don't think there's anybody here that is saying that we want to have a nation where there's not liberty and justice and equality for all, right? Like, nobody is saying, like, gosh, I dream of a place where we don't have liberty and justice. We all want that. We all want everyone to have freedom and liberty and justice, and that it's available, and we're all living that out, the pursuit of happiness together, and everyone has the same access and the same rights and responsibilities and joy. Amen? Like, I don't think that's the problem. The problem is not where we want to be. The problem that we've got to look at right now is where we are. It's not that we're saying, like, I want to go to a different place than you. I don't think that's really the main issue here. The issue is that we're saying, but where are we right now? We're not where we used to be, but we're also not where we want to be. We're on the journey between those places. And this has brought to that to light that there's more engagement that we can do, that we can listen in this time, and that this wouldn't be in vain. That while we're listening, I listened to I cannot think of her last name, but her, Dr. Anita, and she did a fantastic interview with Christine Kane. And one of the things that she did say, she said, I hope it's not lost on many people, but this is a historic moment, because right now what's happening is that we're seeing the church, and she said, and primarily the white church, respond to issues of race like never before. And she said, and so for me as a member of the church of Christ, the body of Christ, to see that, and then she just broke down and began to weep. She said, you don't understand that something's happening here that might be, don't let it be lost on you. So I say that because what I want you to understand is that God is moving in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of hard and bad things and unjust things, and in the midst of a very messy situation, God is still moving, because he promises to work all things to good. All things, not just the good things, but the hard things. And I'm not saying God caused this to work it to good. I'm saying the enemy has been involved, brokenness is involved, but God will work it to good, and may we be a part of that. Amen? So what are we then? I want you to take a moment, and I want to talk to you about, so then what is our response? Christ Center, all right? We are a family. We are a family of God, and we're called together, and we're living, first and foremost, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and then as citizens in America. What is our responsibility right now? What is our response to be? Because before we engage on any other level, we must first turn and say, Jesus, what are your teachings for the kingdom of God? What are we supposed to be up to? So I want to just talk to you all right now as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, okay? So let's start with John 17. You can come with me to John 17. And this is Jesus' prayer. And he says this, starting in verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they've kept your word. Now they've known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I've given to them the words which you've given to me, and they've received them, and they've known surely that I came forth from you, and they've believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now listen to this. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus' prayer is that we would be one, that we would be reconciled into Christ, and that we would be one. And he goes further in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is praying for us that we would be one, that the world would believe that the Father sent him to save the world. So us being reconciled in Christ one to another is the prayer of God and the proof of the validity of Jesus' ministry on earth today. It's a pretty big deal, isn't it? How many of you guys would say we are definitely called to be one? Amen? And we know that further, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, being baptized into the body of Christ, we see in Corinthians 12, where Paul says, we are all parts of one body. And when one part suffers, we all suffer. And when one part is glorified, we're all glorified. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. So what we're called to do is to suffer with the parts of the body that suffer and to rejoice with the parts of the body that rejoice. And so in this key moment, what we have to look at is to say, are we hearing the parts of the body that are suffering? Are we hearing that? Are we able to hear that? Are we comprehending that? Or do we want to perhaps rejoice and ignore the parts of the body that are suffering? Now, I don't think that there's anybody in this family that I would say gets up in the morning and sets out to say, you know what I don't want to do? I definitely don't want to hear from other people who have a different perspective or experience than me. Right? Did anybody? I just don't think that's where we are. I think that our desire, honestly, again, is to say, I want to love God with all my heart, strength, and mind, and love my neighbor as myself. So how is it, if that is the case, that we're still seeing right now, being brought to the forefront, not just in Minneapolis, but all over the world, all over America, it's happening in the world too, but all over America right now, in different cities and in different churches, there are brothers and sisters that are saying, this is what I'm talking about. I'm still suffering. I'm still facing things that you don't see. And it's like, well, why is that still happening? How is that still happening? And I want to speak to you about a practical thing that actually enables that to happen that we have to be aware of, because I, like I said, I don't believe that we're getting up in the morning and thinking like, man, I've got racism in my heart. Like, because of the color of someone's skin, I'm planning on treating other people differently and believing things about them before I see them based on the color of their skin because I just don't like them. Like, that's not, I doubt that's where any of you are. I mean, if it is, may the Lord confront your heart and let you know that we are all made in His image. And He is very happy with all the colors that He put into His image. Amen? So repent of that. But I don't actually think that's where the problem is coming from. I don't think overt racism is the issue. And for many of us, when it comes to the area of race, we get very uncomfortable because it's almost like we get presented with this like binary choice. It's like either you're secretly a racist in your heart and you need to admit it and repent, or you're doing great, just keep doing what you're doing, this isn't an issue, it's somebody else that's the problem, right? How many of you guys identify with that? It's like this total, like, black and white, well, ironically, right? This total black and white, like, you either accept this or you accept that, and you're like, neither of those options seem like they have intellectual integrity for me. So it's like, well, then how come this is still happening, though? Because there are those among us that are experiencing something very differently, and they do not feel heard. And they're not being heard. They don't feel heard because they're not being heard to some extent. How does that still happen? And I want to help us in that regard. And I'm going to share some stories. And actually, I've got some members of our family that are going to come and share some of their stories. And we're going to talk about this today. But I want to begin by giving us an important tool for us that I think helps us to love our neighbors. What's the commandment? Love God with all your heart, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus, I believe it's John 15, says this, a new commandment I give you, love others as I have loved you. Next level, right? Next level. So it's like, okay, I'm going to love others as much as Jesus loved me. He came to me. He heard me. He died for my sins. He rose again, gave me the Holy Spirit. Like, he has withheld nothing from me. And He is God with me. And He wants me to love others that same way. Okay, so how do we do that, Jesus? As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, as members of this family, how do we do that, and how could this happen? Well, here's a very practical way that we can begin to hear and engage with others, specifically in this area, because that's what we're talking about. Now, this works for all kinds of areas, but this is what's in the forefront right now and a vital, important part of our conversation. And it's simply this. What I want all of us to understand is that every single one of us have bias. Every single one of us have bias, okay? Now, bias affects us in all kinds of ways, all right? Let me share a bias that I actually have, because here's the thing. We all have bias, and let me break it down. Bias is based on your experience, your background. It's based on the things that you've read, the things that you've seen. It's based on the things that you've thought. Like, we all have bias. Like, I have a bias. I joked around about coffee. Like, I have a bias that Starbucks coffee is better than Dutch Brothers coffee. I actually like Dutch Brothers coffee. I just think it's more of a dessert, right? And that's been my experience. Like, and it's okay. Like, that's not a negative thing necessarily. And by the way, bias can be negative or positive. It's essentially, bias can be morally neutral, but it still exists, okay? Let me share a bias that I have. And I'm aware of this, okay? So I'm aware of my bias. My bias in my experience, this is changing, but my bias in my experience in Eugene has been when it comes to African Americans that live in Lane County, here in the Eugene area, if I meet you and I don't know anything else about you, my assumption is going to be one of two things about you. Number one, I'm going to assume that you moved to Eugene because you played sports for the U of O. That's like, that's just this. I'm not making a joke. I'm saying that's the first thing I'm going to think. The second thing I'm going to think, if you maybe don't look that athletic and you're African American and you live here, is I'm going to assume you may have used to play sports for the U of O, or I'm going to assume that you are actually a business professional that moved here that's probably a part of upper middle to upper class business here and a professional here in Eugene. Because my experience has been that those are usually the case. So that's a positive bias, but it's still a bias. Like, because that's not always the case. And the funny thing is, right, that's my bias, but here at Christ Center, like most of the African Americans that are at Christ Center, they don't fit any of those bias. Like, none of them. Right? So Owino, he moved here. He met his wife on missions in YWAM and moved here, and he works for the city of Eugene, and he's awesome. And Lord, I do pray and bless him that he would become, you know, super rich. But he does not meet that yet. He's awesome. And then Isaac, again, God bless YWAM. Isaac was a missionary in YWAM, met Abby, and is a genius, so he married her, and he's a part of this church, and he works for the Junction City Police Department, and I can go on and on. But the point is, my bias doesn't actually help me with any of the reality of those that are a part of this family. Amen? So how does this work for us when we're trying to love those that are members of our family right now, and we're trying to hear and engage with other people in these kinds of issues? And today we're talking about race. How will being aware of my own bias help me to better hear people who are having a different experience than me and be able to better love my neighbor? Well, the first thing is, as you guys know, the first step of getting free, right, is to admit you have a problem, right? And in this case, it would be the first thing that's going to help me to love others is to recognize my own bias. But that can be hard, right? So first step is like, my name is Joshua Rivas. I'm a pastor at Christ Center. I admit I have bias, right? Are you guys with me? How many of you could admit at this point that it's possible you may have a bias on a whole measure of different things? All right. However, if that's the case, the question that makes it helpful, because like I said, bias in of itself is not wrong. In fact, it helps us to think in a whole lot of different ways. It's actually the way that we're wired so that we can remember information. You guys know that the way your brain works, you pour a cup of water based on learning how a certain thing works. Like your bias is, if I hold this cup underneath this faucet and turn it on, then water will come out. Amen? So it's not that we can get away from that our brain is wired to do a certain thing. It's that when we engage in certain situations, that doesn't help us. So when I'm engaging with you, when I'm engaging in the area of race, and when I'm engaging in the area of listening to someone else's perspective, then I have to be aware of like, oh, what would be my bias right now? And you can ask yourself two questions. Number one, what is it that I have to gain if what I already believe about this context or about this situation, so right now we're talking about that America is saying we still have a problem with racism and systems that are keeping certain people in our nation away from access to some of the things that we're enjoying. And it's part of the culture and it has to be changed, okay? And when that comes up, I have to ask myself, okay, what do I have to lose if what I already believe about race in America isn't correct? What do I have to lose? Well, the first thing that I have to lose is that sense of racism being part of our history instead of also still a part of our present. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to look at, like, race problems in America the same way that I can look at like Nazis in Germany, right? It's like there's no more concentration camps. We don't have systems that are marginalizing the Jews and then putting them in ghettos and then putting them in train cars. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm so glad that that is past. I'm not comparing the two. I'm saying I'm so glad that that is past. And so I can say, praise God, we won World War II. that's done. That's part of history. But if I'm wrong about this, because what I want to believe is that everything is okay with race relations and that everybody has the same access and the same experience that I'm having. I want to believe that because that's where we're going. That's the vision that we have. But if what I'm hearing is true, then what I have to lose is that sense of peace and contentment that we're where we want to be. And I actually, that makes me feel insecure. That makes me feel like, well, then I don't know what will be required of me if what you're saying is true. If you're saying race is still an issue, I don't know what the next step is for me. That makes me uncomfortable. So it makes me want to not believe you. It makes me want to say, are you sure? Like, are you sure that's what happened? Are you guys with me? The second question that I have to ask myself is, what do I have? Okay, I said, what do I have to gain? So what I have to gain is that I can keep that feeling of victory. What I have to lose is that feeling of victory, is that feeling of safety and contentment. So they're the opposite of each other, right, in this particular situation. The same things that I have to lose are all the things I have to gain if I'm correct. Are you guys with me? So when you and I, if we're willing to do that, to where we look at these kinds of things, and this is a big one, right? This is a big issue, and we have our brothers and sisters who are saying, this is what's happening right now. I'm having a different experience than you. If I'm not aware of my own bias, I'll actually turn a deaf ear when I hear it. And we are hearing about it. You know, Hollywood's done a really good job of writing great stories to help us understand this issue better. There's lots of articles. The schools are engaged. There's training for the police officers and in the professional realm and all kinds of things. It's not like there's nothing happening, okay? But there's a certain point where we can also end up still not hearing from individuals and then not continuing to finish the job that we have to do together. Amen? And if I will look at that bias, it will open me up to be able to hear more deeply and empathize with others. Can you guys receive that? So with that in mind, what that is for us as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and Carly and Gonzalo, will you guys come up? We are called to love our neighbors and to suffer with those who suffer and rejoice with those who rejoice. So here we are, Christ Center. We live in Lane County. We live in Junction City and Eugene and the surrounding areas. And we are a family that is called by God to live out these principles of the kingdom of loving. So I've given you some tools here, but I've asked Gonzalo and Carly if they could join me today, because what I want to do is have them share a couple of perspectives and some stories today, because it's so easy to think, essentially, like, you know, that stuff happens in Minneapolis, you know, or New York or Los Angeles or something, but it certainly isn't happening here. Like, right? It's like that's something that's over there. You know, that's out there somewhere. It's certainly not, it's not happening around here. And but you know what? Let me share a couple of stories. I'm gonna start with a friend of mine and Gonzalo, that I'd love you to share. One of the stories that I ran into a friend of mine, he's an elder at a church in Eugene, a great man, loves the Lord. He and his wife are foster parents. They've worked with safe families, and then they've also adopted kids. And so he and I were having lunch. We were over in Springfield having some tacos, actually. Earlier Carly made a loving of tacos related comment that I'm realizing, like, that was first service. You don't even know what I'm talking about. So now I feel the need to use more words to fix it. So at any rate, we're sitting there eating tacos, and he says to me, I almost said his name, he says to me, the craziest thing happened the other day. He said, I was at, I think it was Target, and he said, some guy comes up to me, white guy, and says, whose baby is that? And he's holding his baby. Well, his baby is a light-skinned baby, because he and his wife have adopted, they do foster, they have their own bio kids as well as these kids that they've adopted. So they've got like a whole all God's people kind of family going on, which is awesome. They got like their own diverse family of unification, beautiful family. But this person comes up and says, whose baby is that? And he says, this is my daughter. We adopted her, and that's my wife. Those are my sons, and this is our family, etc. And the person turns and says, they adopted her. In Target. Like, what? And you know what I said to him? I said, dude, that did not happen. Which is a weird thing for me to say, really. Like, right? It's like, there's my bias. I don't want that to be true. But it did happen. It did happen. And then I had lunch with Gonzalo. He and I And by the way, the theme is not about how much I eat here. I'm talking about hearing other people. But we were having lunch, and Gonzalo shared with me that he had gotten pulled over in Coburg. So, So Gonzalo says to me, we're eating lunch, and he goes, "Hey man," he goes, "Yeah, dude. So I got pulled over for a DWB," and I was like eating, and I'm thinking, "Did he say DWI?" Like, I'm so surprised that Gonzalo like was drinking. Then I'm like, "Wait, he said DWB," and I go, "Dude, what's DWB?" And he goes, "Driving while brown," and I said, "Hold up." And so he shares this story. He shares this story with me. I didn't even know this was a thing until he brought it up.
So I was on my way back home, and, you know, I see this officer come behind me, and, the first instinct is just that this is something that I still haven't shaken, no matter how old I've been. You know, I always tense up, and it's, you never know what encounter this is going to be, right? So he pulls me over, and the first thing he says is, "Do you always drive this safe?" Right? So, and this is in Coburg. I work in Coburg. And absolutely, you know, every day of my life, that's, I got 5 children, stay-at-home mom, that I can't afford a citation or an accident. This is how I drive. So he checks my documentation, and everything's fine, and, you know, and he sends me on my way, but it's, this is not uncommon. Just a month ago, I got pulled over again in the company vehicle, and yeah, they wanted to know if I should be, I was actually the person that needs to be driving this vehicle. And of course, I showed them my documentation, and we're on our way. But it's, it happens. It happens right next door. It happens here.
It happens to our family. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is my brother Gonzalo. Like, we're part of this family. So Gonzalo's experiencing something differently. I've been pulled over several times, and it is always because I broke a law. I've run a stop sign, got pulled over. I've sped several times, got pulled over. But never have I been pulled over because my skin was the right color to be pulled over and ask questions to verify that I'm supposed to be the person driving the car. So you're experiencing something different than what I'm experiencing. And I don't want to believe that. I said the exact same thing to Gonzalo when he said that. I was like, dude, that did not happen. Right? I mean, I'm joking, but I'm like, I wish that didn't happen. I wish that wasn't real. I wish we were where we all want to be, but we're not. We're not where we all want to be. And so we have brothers and sisters that are suffering, and that means we are suffering. So I asked both Gonzalo and Carly, what would you say to our family right now? Because we're a family. We're Christ Center. We're a family. God has put us together to be a body. And so in light of this, I asked them, would you just talk to us, a family, and tell us, how can we help? How can we suffer together? How can we rejoice together? What do we need to hear right now for how we as a family can respond? First of all, with each other. And then, you know, as we continue on. So we can start, because we can start right here. We have responsibility to be family right here. So Carly, why don't you kick that off? What would you say to us right now?
I think the biggest thing would be to look for people who don't look or think like you do, and really just listen, hear their story, and choose to engage with them in empathy, which means that I don't talk and I don't try to explain away your lived experience and were your tags expired or like whatever it was. I just listen first, and I don't try to project my lived experience onto you, but I really listen to yours or whoever's it is, someone who doesn't look or think the same way that you do, that we do, and put myself in their position, because that allows me to understand where you're coming from and even just get a glimpse of your lived experience. And then I can say, man, that's really hard. I'm really sorry about that. And then it also allows me to understand your responses and someone else's reactions to things where I might not react that way. But now I understand why you did, because I've taken this time to just listen to your experience and engage with that with empathy and perspective taking.
That's good. Do you have anything to add?
Well, for me, it's I think it begins with acknowledging and taking responsibility, right? We have an issue. This is an obvious issue, whether it's seen or unseen by someone. Just acknowledging that we're in this together and that we have an issue. And then turning from that, right? Repentance is key to growth. So we must repent from our biases. It's such a great message. I am guilty of so many in different spheres of my life. And then come up with a game plan on how to grow and be there for one another from that point forward. It's, the Lord just highlighted those three things for me as far as our tribe. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that if we embrace repentance, acknowledging and accumulating tools. If you're not aware of certain things, there is a fountain of knowledge out there. There's so many resources to educate ourselves on the struggles of our fellow brothers, whether it's the African-American community, the Mexican-American community. There is so much out there that we could research and grow from.
I know something that has been a real barrier for me, and, And that is essentially to, like, do it wrong. You know what I mean? Like, the truth is, I you and I are good friends. Well, we're all good friends. But I have to say, too, sometimes I punt a little bit where I'm just like, instead of just being like, dude, I want to ask you a question about race. You know what I mean? Like, I don't always just lead with that. I mean, you kind of opened that up, actually, when you brought up, like, the DWB thing. And we've talked more and more about it. But I think the question that I have is, how do I engage? How do we talk about race? I guess that's really it. Like, I mean, we're up here talking about race, right? But it's one thing to go to a website. It's a whole nother thing to say, Carly, you're an African American. Like, what do you think about this? Is there a right way to do this? Is there a wrong way to do this? I think that's the one I'm afraid of.
I mean, no. There's not a right or a wrong way to do it. There's love, and there's choosing to engage with people in a loving way and say, hey, this might be messy. This might be super awkward, but. this could be weird, but tell me about your life and how are you experiencing life and tell me how. I think the way that we talked about it was like, I'm choosing to love you because you're in my family, so I'm going to love you. And if I love you wrong, then I want to know about it. And if I'm not doing it right, then I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to say, how can I love you right? What does that look like for you, for me to love you the right way? And then do that. So it can be messy.
Yeah, and you guys are sharing a mic now, sorry. I wish I could come up close to... That would just be awkward. Gonzalo, just continue on that thought. What's a right and a wrong way to engage? Or, is there, would you rather I come make a mess, or would you rather I just be quiet and be cool and wait till you want to talk about it?
So personally, I think that is going to vary from person to person, right? We all have different attributes in our personalities and our character. But myself, I don't have any issue talking about any subject in my life, from my dirty past to where I'm at right now, to my race, my gender, I'm open to that. I think it's a really healthy starting point for us to start, initiating that process of healing in our communities.
So if I were to... I'm going to ask this to you, Carly, and then I'm going to, same question to you, Gonzalo. I was thinking about for our family, right? Because I know, like I said, my biggest concern is to be misunderstood, right? or to be accidentally insulting or come off as like patronizing or what have you. Would it be okay with you if I were to just say like, hey, can we get together? Here's my agenda, honestly. I want to get to know you better. I want to eat food with you. And I want to ask you some questions that I have about what it's like to be, you know, an African-American in living in Junction City, you know? I want to know what it's like to be Mexican-American in living in Junction City. Like, would that, how would that hit you? Like, would that be okay? And if maybe if it wasn't me, maybe it was somebody who's only met you a couple of times. Like, how would that hit you?
I mean, I will always say yes to having dinner, so. If there's conditions, then sure, like, fine. No, that's the only way that we're going to, it might feel weird, but you get out of feeling weird by doing it and by practicing and by stepping out of that comfort zone and by engaging in relationship with other people. So, yeah, just so, invite me for tacos.
Invite you for tacos. Come on, there it is.
There it is. We brought it back around.
So we're a family, right? That's what we are here at Christ Center. You guys are my brothers and sisters, and we are a family. And just like my immediate family, you know, subjects get brought up that are uncomfortable, right? I got a married 22-year-old and a 16-year-old, both girls, and then three more. But for everything from sex to, I mean, everything that's uncomfortable in between. So subjects will arise in our tribe that stretch us to the extreme, but it's for our growth.
Come on.
It's for you know, our healing among each other. So, yeah, I'm pretty blunt, and I am pretty accepting of any subject. So I would take an invite like that as an honor. As like, man, you're actually taking time to know my culture a little deeper. That's awesome. Yeah, let me share with you whatever you want. That's how I would take.
I like what you said too, Gonzalo, that the fact is we're a family because of Christ. Like, he's already made us family. So the fact that I have questions, it's like, well, who else would I go to? Of course I'm going to go to my brother or my sister who I already know we're family. And then I can ask an awkward question that might show. I mean, the truth is I'm showing up saying I have no idea about this. So mm-hmm. I guess it's okay that the assumption is I'm already ignorant. But I like that. I like that we're already family, and I can ask my brother or my sister those kinds of questions, and you'll let me know when I need to repent for how I did it, which will be probably quickly. I like that.
So another thing that the Lord was really highlighting to me was, this is going to take time. Mm. There's no magic words that is going to get us through this quickly. We have to be willing to suffer with one another through our hardships now and the ones that are to come, because they will continue to happen. And when they do, we need to stand side by side with each other and uplift one another and just love on each other. Stuff that it was just relational. Just family relations. It sounds so simple, but it's such a deep-rooted subject.
Appreciate that. I thought it was interesting too earlier, you know, when we were preparing, we talked before we got to talk in front of you guys. And but it really does come down to, you know, being in one another's homes. You know, it's Jesus broke bread with everybody. In fact, that was one of the things he got criticized for, and we're already family. So we should definitely be eating food at each other's houses. And that's really when, you know, that's where we get to know each other. That's where we do build trust. That is where, you know, this kind of thing happens. You guys both brought that up, so I'm just bringing it up for y'all's.
Yeah, and I liked what Gonzalo said, like the willingness to come into your life and be willing to, like, sit down and suffer with you. And that way, like, that's relationship building, and that's bond building. And then when I'm willing to suffer with you, I'm also willing to stand up for you. So I think that's so big. It's like, when I know you, then I know that if somebody comes and says something to you, like, I'm not gonna, like, that's my brother. I'm not gonna tolerate that.
Right.
So I think that just being willing to suffer with is huge.
Did you have something more?
Just over here crying at each other. It's fine.
You guys are beautiful.
It's super normal. Not weird at all.
You know, earlier, Gonzalo shared that when we become aware of something, then we need to repent. And I was thinking about that, you know, for us as a family, because as I had asked Gonzalo to share today and I had asked Carly to share, and I hope it's okay. Gonzalo was saying, you know, this is emotional for me. It's bringing something up for me because I'm having a voice in something that I've gone through that I need to talk about. And so it's like opening up the history. It's opening up some of that trauma. And here we are just having this conversation right now, but this is deep. This is personal. And I think that's something for us that and Carly, I appreciate how you just touched on it, because this is, when we make it just about, when you just make it about like that issue that's out there, we're missing the point. It's the issue that's affecting my brother or my sister right now. And then I can become an expert, because I'm an expert at knowing Gonzalo. I'm an expert at knowing Carly, and you're an expert at that. We're experts at loving each other. I will mess up in these other issues, but they will correct me in regard to that, right? Like, but I can engage in that way. And I think that's the part for us, is we can feel so helpless to deal with the bigger issue, and it keeps us from listening and engaging with our family right now. That's how we're going to change the world. That's how the kingdom moves, little by little, person by person. And so, but in the area of repenting, I guess I want to say, it means to turn from one behavior and begin a new behavior. And I think for us, what we can recognize, and let's just search our own hearts, is that we can repent from a behavior of assuming that if something's wrong amongst someone in our family, specifically in the area of race, that they're going to let us know, and then we'll deal with it. That hasn't been working. And so we have family members that are like, I guess it's just how it's going to be. And I guess that'll be fixed when Jesus comes or something. And we're like, oh, that's not working. Well, then I'm going to repent of that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I waited for you to come to me. And I am sorry that I waited for you to come to me, because I never brought it up. Because honestly, I was afraid to bring it up, to be like, hey, man, I actually have some questions. Like, how are things going for you, you know? But you brought it up, and then I was like, okay, now I have some questions. But I'm sorry about that. And I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that this had to come up for us to have more conversation about this, to find out, you know, are you suffering? Like, how are we doing in our family? How are we doing? Because we're already family. I just want to know how you're doing in our family. So the new behavior can be, it's okay. We're already family. Let's make sure we see each other and hear each other and engage. And it is as simple as what you guys are sharing. And I thank you for sharing. Thanks for sharing your story today. And thank you for inviting us to invite you over for dinner and everybody else. You guys think you can handle this? Well, may this not be only the conversation around this. We have talked about some of these things in the past, but may this be an ongoing part of us living out John 17, that we would be one as God is one, and that we'd be one in Christ, and the world would know that Jesus Christ made us one, that Jesus Christ is the way. Amen. Well, Gonzalo, I would love it if you would just pray, and pray for our tribe, pray anything you want, man, but you're wrapping up the service today.
So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into our hearts. We invite you into these broken areas, our biases. Lord, I pray a supernatural dissolvement of any divinity, Lord, any division, I pray unity among our congregation. Lord, I pray for a supernatural awakening of strategy that's effective in our tribe, Lord, for growth in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless you guys. Have a great week.